Good morning, everybody. Some of you may know that I'm planning on going on a mission trip at the end of March with Brother Nathan, and I have never been out of the country before, so I'm making preparations. I got my passport in the mail this week, getting all sorts of shots and getting ready to go down to Guyana for a week, and then after that we're going to go to Suriname for a week, probably end of March, maybe beginning of April. And so I was been thinking a lot about mission trips and about being as effective as I can be during the time that I have down there, wanting to put the time to the best use possible. And I've thought about how, I've been preaching here in the States and located work for years, and the differences between those and why there sometimes are differences. I expect that in a mission trip you're going to be on the move, you're part of a movement, you're trying to build things up in a quick way, but when you're located in a place, you live among the people for a long time, and the nature of the work might seem different. But as I look into the Bible and I think about what God has given to us in commands, in our assignments, in our commission, I find that really all of us as part of the church are in mission. We have a mission to accomplish in this world that our Lord has given to us. And I want to look at a few verses in John 17 which speak about this. Of course, John 17 is a prayer that Jesus prays to the Father before he is crucified. And so this really is the Lord's Prayer, and I want to read with you verses 13 through 19. Jesus said, "And now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. And I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, even so I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Somebody says, "Well, I didn't see the word mission in there, and you're talking about us being in mission. Where is this found?" Well, look at verse 18. The word sent is this idea. The word mission actually comes from a Latin word, missio, which means to send out. There's an archaic term of a letter that's a missive, something that is sent. Well, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus talking about the apostles and how he was going to send them out and how he had a particular job for them, a particular mission to accomplish. And it's interesting to me that in this commission, that this is not the only time where God has told his people to get out, to go to a place that they're not at the moment, to get out of their comfort zone, so to speak. For instance, you remember when God appeared to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. The very first thing he says when he's going to bless Abraham is this: "Get out of your country, and from your kindred, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." Now, I think that that's interesting, because here I've been preparing to leave the country. I'm nervous in some ways about it, because I've never been out of the country. I'm sure that things will work fine, and I'm praying for God's providence over us. But I will certainly be out of my comfort zone. I won't be eating foods that I've been used to eating. Won't be, sleeping in places that I'm familiar with or things like that. But really, God calls all of us to get out of our comfort zone and to accomplish his mission in the world. And Abraham's not the only one that God told to do this sort of thing. You remember with Moses, God said to Moses after he showed him that he is the I Am and appeared to him in that burning bush, he says in verse 16 of Exodus 3, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And so Moses was told to get up and go and get the children of Israel, and they were going to go into a land that they had never seen. And so God had, in a sense, told them to get out of what they were used to. And then in Isaiah chapter 6, we have an account of Isaiah seeing the Lord high and lifted up in this great vision. And the Lord tells him in verse 9, go and tell this people, hear you indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. And so God is telling Isaiah, I want you to go out and speak to my people, and they're not going to listen to you. Their heart's going to be fat. They're not going to listen to you. They're going to turn their ears from you, but I want you to go anyway. And so several times throughout Scripture, God has commissioned his people to go, and it is true with us as well. Like we studied in a Bible class hour, Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and yes, we were talking about how the original disciples, how the apostles were the ones that Jesus was talking to, but we also recognize that whatever was commanded of them was to be replicated to others. Notice, Jesus came to them and spoke, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And so Jesus tells them to go, and he tells them to baptize, and he tells them to teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Well, right here he had given them a command. And so just as the original apostles and disciples were to go, they were then to teach those that they converted to go. And the gospel was to be continuing to be spread throughout history, available so that people could obey it and be part of the Lord's church. And so think about this idea of going. And this doesn't have to be going from where you are geographically. But think about the idea of how God has put you on the earth for a mission, a world-saving mission. And that means that you and I have to get out of our comfort zone. Yes, I'll be out of my comfort zone when I'm out of the country, but I'm talking about when you're at work, when you are at school, when you are in the grocery store, waiting in line. How much are you willing to get out of your personal comfort zone in fulfilling your mission here on earth? Now, that doesn't mean that I am saying that we should just be doing the hard sell with people all the time, that we should just assume somebody's lost and tell them that they're going to burn in hell, not even knowing who they are. Certainly, there is love and truth with this idea of mission, and those have to be combined together. And if you have the truth and you love other people, then you know that you have a mission in order to tell them what they really need to know. You know, out of all the things of Christianity, I think that this idea of going and being a mission in mission and teaching other people and converting them is one of the things that is rejected by people at large today. I mean, there are a lot of people in the world that, in our society, that are like, well, Christianity might have a lot of good teachings and there's maybe a lot of good things about it, but why do you think that you have to convert me? Why do you have to convert everybody to your cause? Why can't you just leave them alone and let them believe their own thing? Why do you have to be a missionary towards me? And so missionaries in some ways get a bad rap. But you see, really, what are they trying to do when they say something like that, but trying to convince us of their relativistic beliefs? That we should believe that Christianity is relative just like they do. You see, if you have love for somebody and you have a truth that will save them, then you know that that's got to be intense and that's got to be something that you're going to tell them about. And that's what Jesus talks about here. He mentions in verse 17, sanctify them through your truth. Verse 19, I have sanctified myself that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Jesus came into the world to bear witness of the truth. If you turn a page over and you look at John 18, when he talks to Pilate, he says in verse 37, to this end was I born. For this cause I came into the world. Jesus had a mission, and he came here. Why? That I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of truth hears my voice. And earlier on, he had talked about how he came in order to fulfill the will of the Father, to bear witness that he is the true God. John 17, notice verse 3. He says that they might know that you are the only true God. And so he wanted to tell the people the truth, and that's the reason he did, is because he loved the world. In John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And if you're here, John 16 tells us in verse 27, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and I'm come into the world again, and I leave the world and I go to the Father. Why did Jesus come to this world? Because he wanted to bear witness of the truth. Why? Because he loved us and he knew that truth would save. And so that is all throughout this idea here. That's this prayer, is that we're going into the world teaching these things because we have a truth that the world needs. And we love the people that are in the world and we want them to be saved. And so if you have the love for other people and you have the truth, you can't help but be in mission. In fact, the apostles are called ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, Paul was pleading with them to be reconciled to God as an ambassador. What does an ambassador do? Well, it's somebody that represents their nation, another culture, and tries to break down stereotypes and tries to communicate freely with them. And that's what we're trying to do to the world. Now, I know that Paul called himself an ambassador in that sense in 2 Corinthians 5. And in Ephesians 6, he said he was an ambassador in bonds. But really, as Christians, all of us should be trying to break down the barriers of misunderstanding that the world has and try to appeal to the world and to show the world what God's nation, the church, is about. All of us should be going into the world. And so that's the commission. That's what Jesus has for us. He has commanded us to go, just like he told Abraham and Moses and Isaiah to go and get out. You and I have to go. We have to go and get out of our comfort zone. But secondly, not just the commission, notice the channel by which this will be spread. Look here at verse 18 and think about how he says, I've sent you. And look at how verse 18 is sandwiched between two verses on being sanctified. And that's really interesting because Jesus says in verse 17, right before he talks about sending, he says, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. And then he talks about how, as I've been sent, so I'm sending them. And then in verse 19, right after this, he says, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth. Now, is Jesus just jumping subjects here, talking about sanctification, being separate from sin and holy, and then talks about being sent into the world, and then again talking about sanctification? Is he just jumping back and forth? No, this is all the same subject. You see, because if we're really going to make a difference in the world, we have to be different from the world. We have to be sanctified. We have to live holy lives. And yes, it's important that we speak the truth. It's important that when I get up here, I present the gospel. But you know what matters to people today more than any sort of eloquent presentation of the gospel? Do they see it in the lives of the people that are part of the church? You see, if you're living a truly holy life, you'll have an effect on the world around you. Think about Jesus and the life that he lived. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, in verse 26, that he was holy, blameless. 1 Peter 2, verse 22 says that he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And so just as Jesus was holy, and his holiness influenced people around him, you and I are to be sanctified, set apart from the world because of the truth of God's word. And that should bear an impression on other people. And And so if we wonder why we're not having more of an effect on people, maybe we should examine, are we truly living holy lives? Or are there parts of our lives that aren't holy and aren't sanctified? Because this is the channel by which God will be shown to the world. If we are sanctified in the truth, just as Jesus said, he was sanctified. And so living a holy life, and that means that we should be doing good towards other people. Think about what the Bible says here, that Jesus says, as I have been sent, so you. So our mission should mirror Jesus' mission. Now, in what way did Jesus minister to other people when he came on his mission to this earth? In what way did he conduct himself? Luke 24:19 tells us, when Cleopas is walking to Emmaus, he says that Jesus of Nazareth was a prophet, notice, mighty in deed and word before God. And so the church should not just be speaking things that are true, talking a good talk, but should also be walking the walk. You think about Acts chapter 1 and verse 1 that says, the former treatise, the former account have I made, O Theophilus, of all, notice, that Jesus began to do, he did first, and then teach. And of course, the church is what Jesus continues to do and teach through his spiritual body. And so Jesus was tremendously benevolent towards people around him. His one-on-one interactions with people changed their lives dramatically. In fact, Acts 10, when Peter talks about him to the Gentiles, he said that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So the church should be involved in radically helping the world around them to do good to the world, and the world then can see that. And notice that this was part of the other commissions that we find in the scriptures. I talked earlier about, Abraham. And you remember, Abraham was told to get out, but immediately after that, God says, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. Now, that's the kind of religion you and I want, right? For God to appear to us and to say, I'm going to bless you and make you great. Boy, I want to be part of that religion, right? But as soon as Jesus says, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, notice this, and I'm going to make you a blessing. That's the end of verse 2. And so the reason God has called us in to be blessed is so that we might be a blessing to others. The reason that the church is blessed by Jesus Christ is so that the church then may bless those that are around us. What about Isaiah? Isaiah came into the temple and he met the last person that he ever expected to meet going to worship, just like you and I do. The last person we expect to meet is God at worship. But he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw the angels there, and there was the angel crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. That's the idea of being sanctified, set apart. And when he saw the Lord, then immediately what did Isaiah see about himself? All of his insecurities come out. He says, Lord, I'm a man of iniquity. I'm an unclean man. I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And so one of the angels took the coal that was on the altar and brought it to Isaiah's lips and purified him, cleansed him, sanctified him, made him holy. And so at that point, in Isaiah chapter 6, when he was purified, when he was made holy, then when the Lord says, who will go for us, then he's ready to go. And so you see, you have to be purified and blessed first before then you go out and help others. And so our mission should mirror Jesus' mission. Just as you sent me, Father, he's praying here, so I have sent them. And so what are we doing to help other people? Are we living holy lives, lives that will be a blessing to those that are around us that aren't part of the church? And then let me finally say this. We have this commission to go, because we have a truth that the world needs and we love the people of the world. We have the channel through which that's going to happen, our own holiness made possible by Jesus Christ, that we can live a holy life before others. I want you to notice finally the consequence of a mission, and that's this, it's joy. look with me at the very first few verses of the section I read here. He says in verse 13, "Now I come to you, Father, and these things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." For Jesus, mission was tied up with joy. He had spoken these things that my joy might be fulfilled in them, in his apostles that he was sending out. And what were these things? The things that he just talked about. Notice that he came into the world in order to glorify the Father, verse 4. "I have glorified you. I have finished the work that you gave me to do." Verse 6, "I manifested your name so that they might know." And so Jesus had joy in that he was accomplishing the Father's business, that he was glorifying the Father. And I'm telling you, the only true, genuine joy that you're going to get is by having a mission from the Father and making sure that you fulfill that. You see, Jesus looked to how he was fulfilling the mission the Father gave him, and that gave him joy. You remember what Hebrews 12 tells us about Jesus dying on the cross? That we should look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Notice this, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down on the right hand of the Father. So how did Jesus get through coming here to this earth? You know, if he was just interested in himself, he would have stayed up in heaven. You know, he had, you know, the angels worshiping him. He was there in heaven. Why would he humble himself and become a man and go through all the struggles that we go through in life and then even go to the most horrible death on the cross? How did he do all that? It's because of the joy that was set before him. And we have to learn that there is a joy in fulfilling the mission of the world. You think about, you know, how many stories we love in our society today based on a world-saving mission. You know, I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, and so I watch all these little kids' movies and read these kids' books, and all of them are about world-saving mission. And if you ask a 7-year-old, what do you want to be when you grow up? See, before they get cynical like us, what does a 7-year-old, if they'll describe the job that they want to do, and they won't say something like this, "Well, you know, I just want to work in an office and push around paper and work on a computer. That's my dream." No, they'll talk about a mission that they want to fulfill in their job. They want to change the world. You see, there's joy linked to that. And as a child, you still have that connection between a mission and fulfilling that mission to save the world, making a difference in the world, and the joy that is tied to that. And that's what Jesus has here. You know, we in our nation have gone through a period of time, and I'm speaking in generalities here, but a few generations ago, there were some clear things that people would do that were above themselves. That is, there were certain things that you would do because you are a man or you're a father. There are certain things you do because you're a woman or because you're a mother. There are certain things you do because you're a citizen of this country. Or there are certain things you have to do because you're a child and you're supposed to obey your parents, or whatever. All of those were because there was something higher than yourself that you had to sacrifice your own personal desires in order to fulfill, whether it was God, morality, or whether it was country, or whether it was family. But we went through a period of time where when people were doing a lot of type of mission type stuff in our nation, you know, people were marching and they wanted civil rights and things like that. But as they went through a period of time like that, they also embraced this idea, this view of truth that was relative. And so everything started to kind of be relative, and we started to mistrust certain things, wonder if serving our country really is the best thing. And there was some suspicion, and maybe there was some good reason for that because of certain things done, you know, by both parties. But anyway, we got to the point where now it seems like in general, the highest goal people have is their own fulfillment. And so anything promise that they've made, whether it's marriage, whether it's their country, whether it's the church, all of those, if they aren't meeting my personal desires, my personal fulfillment, then they can't get in the way of that. And when you do that, you lose the joy. You see, because all you have is the thing you're living for is your own fulfillment. And you have no higher truth that you're sacrificing for. You have no higher cause that you're willing to give up things for. And so all you have is just living for yourself. And that's not what you were designed to do. You were designed to live for a cause higher than yourself. And so the only way to really have true joy, and that's why we kind of live in a grim world today in general, is because people have lost the joy of sacrificing for a truth that's higher than themselves because they've relativized all that. And in exalting our own importance, ironically, we've lost our own significance because we're just living for ourselves rather than something greater than ourselves. You remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, in verse 23? He tells us there, "If any man comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is man advantaged if he will gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" If you got everything that you wanted and you're just living for your own fulfillment, but you lose your soul, what's it worth? And so you have to pick up your cross daily and follow Jesus. That's the way to really have true abundant life. And so let's think today about what Jesus prays here for his apostles, then also by extension for us, verses 20 through 26 of this chapter. That Jesus has given us a commission that we are to get out. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean like what I'm going to be doing, getting out of the country, but it means getting out of your comfort zone. And that we are to be a channel of blessing to others by our own holiness and how we influence others. And to think about how the consequence of living for something higher than our own fulfillment, transcendent truth, a cause, the Lord's church, that is higher than our own personal fulfillment, our own personal desires, something that we can sacrifice for, is really, the consequence of that is joy. And if we can really get that, then we won't be people that will just say, well, religion is a private thing that you should never talk about. We'll recognize that God has given us a world-saving mission and that we are to go out and turn the world upside down like they did in the first century. Are you willing to be part of this mission? Do you accept this mission that the Lord has given to His? What you have to do in order to become a Christian, as we've talked about, is to become one of His disciples by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. Jesus said, if you don't believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins, John 8, 24. He said, except you repent, you'll perish, Luke 13, 3. He said, whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven, Matthew 10, 32. And so we have to confess our faith in Christ before men. And as we've talked about today, Jesus told us to go into all the world and make disciples. How? By baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And so if you're here and you haven't become a disciple of Jesus, we invite you to become one and to help spread the gospel to the world. Maybe you've done those first things and you don't any longer see the joy of sacrificing for the Lord. You've just lived for yourself. Why not repent and come back? He wants you to put Him on the throne of your heart and to come back to Him and to have the joy that is available if you'll fulfill His mission. Why not come while together we stand and while we sing?
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story,
this is my
song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.